Chapter 7, Building Your Team. They say the secret to any successful business person is the team that they have around them. Great attorneys have the best paralegals, doctors are only as good as their nurses, and the president is only as good as the Congress and House. Either way, the team we have around us makes us better and stronger at what we do. Sure, you may be able to do everything it takes to be a real estate investor or lender, and you should know how to get the information you need, but wouldn't you rather have a certified inspector go under the crawl space and up in the attic? Let the realtor eyeball the area and house layout for you as well as pull his or her own comps? Have the attorney pull the title work, but please read it too? Let a bird dog or an agent search out new properties. Have a contractor verify the price quoted to do the job is truly what it would cost, because you may be the one finishing the job or hiring someone to finish it if the borrower defaults. As a lender, your job is to know how to qualify the borrower and the property. You will use bank statements, credit reports, background checks, job verifications, lien searches, and references to verify the quality and character of your borrower. You will also need to qualify the property with an experienced real estate agent who knows the current market trends, an appraiser with vision who relies on past market trends, and a well-heeled group of professionals to help you understand just how quickly and for what price the house will sell. You will also need to know what repairs and upgrades should be done to the house, and that there are no hidden surprises such as termites, mold, or foundation problems. No one can possibly complete all this due diligence without a strong, reliable team in place that understands what you are looking for as a lender. Those same things are just as important to the borrower. That puts you both on the same side, desiring the same outcome, which is a successful project completed and sold. Real estate agent. As an investor or lender, the first person I would want on my team is a good local real estate agent who knows what the house will sell for fixed up and how long it should take to sell. The borrower's desire should be to sell the house as quickly as possible. This means in 3 months or less. Something quicker than that is an awesome and welcome achievement, but it may be unrealistic, especially depending upon the time of year the house will be placed on the market to sell. I have an agent that I've been working with in one city that is also a military town. I have done 11 deals within the past 12 months in that market with her help. She is able to tell me not only what needs to be done on the property to make it more sellable, but also, and more importantly, what it will sell for and how long it will take. She tells me what interior colors work in the market, whether or not I can get away with laminate rather than solid surface countertops, and whether we should use carpet or hardwoods, vinyl or tile flooring. I am not interested in what it will appraise for or at what price it should be listed. I only want to know what it will sell for in 3 to 4 months, because that is what I am going to base my loan amount on. As a lender, I never want to be in an average deal any more than 70% of the selling price all in. Notice that I did not say the appraised value. Although I do care about the appraised value, as it must appraise for the sales price in order for the end buyer to get their loan to buy the property and pay off the hard money loan, I really want to know what the house is most likely to sell for, because that is the most realistic number for me to work from. This particular agent has been right on the dollar all 11 times, and every time the house sold for what she said it would in under 30 days. The less than 30 days part is truly a bonus, and I wish every market were like this and every agent had that kind of talent. A team member like this is a precious gem. This is a smaller military town on the coast, and the population is not huge. This one agent knows the whole town like the back of her hand. In a large city, I need to understand that no one agent can know every neighborhood or trend, so that I need more than one agent. I would also make sure that I use an agent specific to a price range or amenities the house and neighborhood have to offer. This means if I have a property that has lots of acreage, lakefront, golf course, or high-end attributes, I would recruit agents that work in that particular price range and amenity. As an investor, You're going to talk with many agents that deal with foreclosures, REOs, and the like. These are not the agents you should count on to give you true retail prices of houses once they are repaired. This is not their niche market. Their niche is the foreclosure market, and that is what they should be used for, finding you great deals. Seek the expertise of someone who is an expert of that particular niche. I request a CMA, comparative market analysis, from my expert agent on every house that we are considering lending on. CMAs should be uniform. However, a lot of times they are not. Days on the market, distance from subject property, year built, similar current and future square footage, similar amenities such as a garage, basement, pool, acreage, and similar future curb appeal are all items that should be included in the report. If every comp that sold under 90 days has a garage and the subject property does not, then a garage should be added, or be aware the price will have to be lower to attract more buyers. Of course, the basic bed and bath count should be standard as well. Make sure they let you know important things like the fact that it is the largest house in the neighborhood. It is on a busy street. There is an apartment complex on the next block. There are a lot of foreclosures in the neighborhood. There are a lot of houses on the market in the neighborhood, or it is competing with new construction. All of these things will affect the sale of the house. They should also note if the floor plan is odd or unusual, the lot has steep slopes, or you can hear traffic or airplane noise. An investor who sees dollar signs at the great potential of a deal ignores many or all of these issues, but they stand out to the buyer paying retail or close to retail for the house, no matter how fixed up it may be. As an investor borrower, the first person to contact and hire prior to the purchase is a good local listing agent. When you have a good realtor, always take their advice on floor plans, colors, and anything else they tell you, because it will help the sell and value. They know their area and what clients are demanding in the area. Have them review your repair list and let you know if you can cut things out that won't help the sale and add things that will make the difference in helping sell the property for top dollar and faster as well. Remember, they don't make money unless the house sells, and they want it as quickly as you do. You will need to spend some time training your agent to understand how you work as an investor or lender, and let them know your budget and time frame. Most agents don't understand investing and need your guidance in your formula for success, what types of properties you like, and what areas you like. They can guide you where you should be investing or lending. We have someone in our office that is just plain skilled at walking into a house and visualizing what walls need to be moved to create great flow and utilize the space wisely. I love taking her on our Inner Circle bus tours so she can show our students a great way to open up their minds and their houses on a budget. She's a keeper. Inspectors. The next person I would have on my team is a trusted home inspector. I love contractors, but I must say that a really thorough contractor who doesn't charge an arm and a leg are about 20% or less of the industry. In other words, they are a very rare find, so if you have one, treat them like royalty. That is why an inspector sits on my totem pole of team players. Inspectors seem to have one goal in mind, and that is to talk the buyer out of buying your house. You know I am right. You love them when you are buying a house and you hate them when you're selling. So why not have them inspect the house prior to you lending money on it and let you know exactly what should be on the repair list or if you should make the loan at all. In most cases, the power and water will not be on. They can still see whether or not the electrical, wiring, and plumbing appears to be working and intact. I am mostly interested in roofs, crawl spaces, termite trails, structural issues, and rot. They will also tell me if decks, flashing, gutters, and such are up to code and sloping correctly. Contractors tend to miss those things. I actually use the inspection as a selling tool if I'm wholesaling the property and negotiating tool if I'm buying the property. When we are buying a house, we renegotiate a lot of contracts once we get the inspection back. They never talk about what great shape the property is in, and it always looks worse than reality. The only bad thing about the inspection report is that, unlike an appraisal, they are not uniform, so they are all different. First of all, please read it thoroughly. One sentence can include a multitude of problems, and one word can completely change the meaning of the sentence. Just like good realtors, you are going to have to search for an inspector that provides the information you are looking for. Don't be concerned with the cost, as that is something you can pass along to your borrower. As a borrower, you will do better ordering an inspection rather than an appraisal. You can glean so much more information about your investment and how you should handle it from the inspection report than you can an appraisal. Also, as a borrower, you can use the report to renegotiate the purchase price. If the repairs are more than you thought they would be, the deal is much different, and many times you are finding items the seller was unaware of, but now they know. It becomes a material fact that legally and ethically needs to be disclosed to any future buyers. What cost you $400 may save you thousands of dollars. When looking for an inspector, be sure to ask them for a sample report from another property. This will give you an idea of what to expect on your own property inspection. We ordered an inspection on a 75-year-old house in the mountains. It was a beautiful 3-bedroom cabin on 3 acres that sat across from a large whitewater rafting river and vistas that were just incredible. It had a 2-story garage that was separate from the house across a small creek and was actually already a separated parcel, but still part of the deal. Now we see 2 houses for the price of 1. We ordered an inspection from a new contact without getting a sample from him. The inspection comes back with a very disparaging report. It seemed everything was out of code and about to fall apart. It also did not include any pictures. What? All of the things he said were in need of repair had nothing to back up what he was reporting. This licensed inspector had been in business for 30 years and says he has never provided pictures with any of his inspections. I can't imagine him going through his 30 years of experience and never having to respond to his clients about the lack of pictures in his reports. I remember the good old days when an inspection report and appraisals had Polaroid pictures glued to the report by the comments section. In this case, we made lemonade out of lemons and were able to get the price reduced by $20,000 because of his woeful report. We also sent 3 contractors that we knew very well and our draw request inspector out to the house with the first inspection report in tow to take pictures and address the issues. My draw request inspector is a licensed contractor and certified inspector, and I completely trust his opinion on rehab work. He absolutely understands my lender's point of view and protects me like a lioness protects her cubs. I really need that kind of protection for my money and the lenders who trust me with their money. As it turned out, the pictures proved the first inspector to be sorely mistaken and downright wrong on most accounts. There are many lessons to be learned from this incident. Always get a sample report from inspectors you have not previously worked with. Use the bad news to your advantage and renegotiate the purchase price if you are the borrower, or help the borrower if you are the lender. Don't trash the deal until it is really dead. We also could not have gotten everything we needed in a timely manner had we not had contractors that we trust to follow up after the inspector, and yes, we paid them a $75 trip charge to do so. Well, actually, our borrower paid the $75. As a lender, one of the benefits I offer is to release draw money within 2 business days of the request. Since I lend all over the Carolinas, it is important for my inspector to get to the houses that need draw inspections as quickly as possible. He is also my protector in the field when we are looking to release funds. That role was more important to me. Just as it is good to have a local realtor, I also like a local inspector who knows the county and city codes well, and they can get to it quicker. Because the power and water are not usually on when we get a house inspected, We can negotiate the cost of the inspection report from the inspector, but not always. However, the answer is always no if you don't try. We were able to lend on this house, and we based the loan off of the CMA on the house and a CMA on the garage converted to a two-bedroom house, then set the loan up to be able to accept a partial payoff to release the note on whichever house sells first, similar to how a blanket loan works. If you cannot find a good local property inspector by asking your realtor, then you can always go to www.AmericanHomeInspectorDirectory.com and find one in your area. Appraisers, one thing that will keep you on top of the market is your ability to change how you do business in the market. If the market is always changing, then you too need to be willing to change with it. That holds true in any business. As a recovering mortgage broker, everything in my business related back to the appraisal. More deals fell through or got pushed back because of appraisal discrepancies than anything, especially in the non-owner occupied world. When we were closing 20 to 30 traditional loans a month for our non-owner occupied borrowers, I knew within minutes of reviewing their applications whether or not they would qualify as a borrower and exactly which lender were going to send the loan. They all had their guidelines clearly written. The unknown was always the appraisal and what hidden issues lurked within it. Was it in a flood zone? Was the road state maintained? And if not, did they have all the property owners on the roads sign a contract and have it recorded to maintain the road? Was the fence on the right property? If there were upgrades 5 years ago, did they pull permits and are the upgrades up to code? Are there too many foreclosures in the area? Is the heating system comparable to the comps that were chosen? Are there too many repairs needed? Has the house been resold too many times over the past 12 months? These are just a small sample of things that could pop up on an appraisal. None of these questions even touched the value of the property. That was the obvious thing to be concerned about. Appraisals are full of information you never dreamed could be available on a house or even thought could be important to know. However, appraisals are a golden tool if you have one. In some areas, things are changing so quickly that current selling prices are higher than the value of the appraisals being done on the houses. Appraisals are based on past trends, not future trends. They do talk about some future trends on the latest appraisal format, but depending upon the area in which the appraiser is choosing to use as his subject market, these trends can, in many cases, be skewed. Likewise, appraisers are more limited to being able to use their opinion and common sense. With the new lending and government guidelines added to the requirements they must meet, many appraisers feel like their hands are tied on what they are safely allowed to share. An appraisal is very important to the end buyer, as every loan is based on the appraised value and many other items included in the appraisal. However, as a private lender, you can get the information you need to make a quality loan from other sources and more up-to-date sources. I used to base my hard money loans solely on the after-repaired value, ARV, or subject to appraisal, but now I base it on a percentage of the selling price because of the changing market in the areas that I loan in. It may be different in your area. Even if someone provides you with an older appraisal that was done in the past 12 months, it can provide lots of great information about the house, the neighborhood, the area, and the city. It can also give you a good idea of where the appraiser will be searching for comps for the end buyer's appraisal. Most everyone does the same thing when they receive an appraisal. First, they go right to the second page that shows the value. Next, they go to the comps to see what the competition looks like. And finally, they will peruse through the report in about 2 minutes or less. When I was closing conventional loans, my biggest battle was fighting with lenders over the appraisals. The appraiser would say one thing and the lender would interpret it as something completely different. I decided to enroll in the appraisal course so I could argue intelligently for my clients. I finally knew what the appraiser could and could not do, and I knew what the underwriter could and could not do. I realized that if given the opportunity, they could in fact come to an agreement and make this deal work for my client. I also learned that the appraisal holds many points of information that tell the true history of the property and help you project what the future could be based on that history. From flood zones to odd-shaped lots to new construction down the street, an appraisal is a very detailed picture of your house. If there is a well and septic, then you may want to get them inspected if they have been sitting vacant for a while. If there's a pig farm a quarter mile away, you might want to check out the smell factor on days when the wind changes. If you have to walk through a bedroom to get to the only bathroom, there's your sign that you may have to move some walls. If there's a street scene photo shows cars up on blocks, you may want to rethink this neighborhood. An appraisal can give you a lot of good information. I would take any appraisal done on a property at this point, but I most likely will not base my loan solely on that value. Remember also that as far as the value goes, appraisals are really opinions and everybody has one. They are kept within a parameter based on area, square footage, year built, etc. But they also have a guide through a company called Marshall and Swift that gives guidelines for the cost of items based on the area of the country. It isn't willy-nilly guessing. They do have a range to work with, and some have great visualization skills. Some appraisers that have vision and can see the house in its after-repaired state. Now that I'm a lender, I can see why many underwriters would reevaluate the appraisals and cut the value when making loans. Contractor. Whether or not you are the borrower, broker, or the lender, the contractor sets the stage for the deal's success. Some lenders require that the contractor being used on a deal be licensed, bonded, and insured. That is never a bad idea, although I'm not sure it is always necessary or possible. As a lender, I want to know the contractor is experienced and can handle the job before him. The last thing I want is for the contractor to do a poor job, cost my borrower more money or worse, set it up so I have to take an incomplete house back. In 12 years of making hard money loans, I have only had to take back two that were not completed. On one of the two, with the guidelines we have in place, the contractor was kept on a short lease and he was paid out of our rehab fund based on what was left to be completed. The borrower's mistake was doing far more than what was needed to sell the house at a profit. He decided to add more to the house than the selling price of the house could handle. We would not release money for the upgrades as they didn't add value to the house and they weren't in the rehab budget we based the loan on. The house had met its highest and best price point. He eventually ran out of funds to make his payment. We received the house back via deed in lieu of foreclosure, finished the repairs with the money left in the account, and sold it for exactly what the realtor projected it would sell for. Had we not been inspecting the house at every draw and explaining to the contractor that he would not receive any add-on funds from us, then this could have been much worse. We were able to use the same contractor to finish out the job. We have no idea why the borrower didn't stick to the rehab estimate and scope of work that was established when the loan was made. This made no sense to us. In another instance, I had a contractor working on my personal rehab who could not get his initial work to pass inspections after several attempts, so I fired him. He took me to court suing me for breaking his contract, and even though he would have never won the case, I paid over $5,000 out to him to make him go away. My attorney fees would have been much higher. My lesson there is that my contract for rehab work needs to include must pass inspections within 3 inspection attempts. Not only is quality of work important, so is the time frame in which it takes to complete a job. As a borrower, every payment you make is money you lose and will not regain. Time is of the essence, and because of this, we recommend you put a realistic completion date that allows for unavoidable circumstances but charges the contractor $100 a day for each day it is past the completion date. The biggest trouble that contractors get into is that they take too many projects on at one time, hire people to oversee jobs, and don't get to each property every day. No one works as hard as the owner of the company. The contractors that I see doing the best are the ones who are on the job site every day and will still swing a hammer when they need to. Those guys grow slowly and only expand when they have stumbled upon a true A player that will stick around and grow with the company. If a contractor is licensed, check the license to make sure it is valid. Check with the Better Business Bureau and with the state to see if there have been any complaints against them. Getting references is always a plus. I always ask for someone who was initially dissatisfied and is now happy. I want to discover the character of the contractor and how they handled issues. My best contractors have come from the realtors I use. So many contractors will overlook items that should be done. Do you really need a place for hanging hangers inside a closet? Are shelves really necessary in a linen closet? Does it matter if the electrical outlet is a different color than the cover? Yes, the ceiling fan is missing a blade, but you will hardly notice it. What do you mean you need stoppers in the sink? Oh, did you want me to go in the attic too? I noticed the heat wasn't working right. I guess I should have mentioned it before the temperature dropped down to 6 degrees. It is a shame that the water was on. These are all statements that have been made to me by contractors in the past and just a sample of items that can be missed. The more detailed you are with the repair list, the better understanding everyone will have of what is expected. No matter the relationship between the contractor and the borrower or lender, having everything in writing will head off a lot of issues. The list of repairs should include the grade and brand of products being used, a budget for items such as lighting and plumbing fixtures, and facts such as closets, ceilings, and trim to be included in the paint job. Make sure you list permits that should be pulled to complete jobs, what landscaping and exterior cleanup will be done, and the interior cleanup. Most contractors will include cleanup a house after the repair, but you may want to hire a cleaning service for finishing touches. On most any house, you should be sure that some landscaping is mentioned in the bid. A messy and unkempt exterior can kill a sale and keep potential buyers from even getting out of the car in the first place. As a lender, I want to make sure that my inspector is really checking out the quality of the work being done by the contractor. My inspector always introduces himself to the contractor and is great about setting up an immediate rapport with him. He also makes sure that the contractor knows he works for the lender and is there to be the eyes and ears of both the lender and the borrower. He is comfortable enough to question the quality of work being performed. He checks the permits and inspection tags and encourages them as well while he is there. He will even gently remind them of their timeline, but he will not allow them to perform poorly. I have used a handyman to do small rehabs that didn't require permits and have used places like Lowe's to install flooring and countertop. But in a larger job that requires plumbing, electrical, and such, I would recommend a licensed and insured contractor to do the work. I'd also recommend that you use the same standard list of repairs that an insurance company would require in any vacant house to ensure they pay off claims. You should provide them with a list of things that are expected from them, such as the daily condition of the house is left in, how to treat the neighbors, where they can park, music levels, and times they can be at the job. We just renovated a house in a 55 plus community and received complaints that saws, drills, and compressors were running full force past 9 p.m. I'm not quite 55 yet, and that would really irritate me. Another good example is that the water be turned off every time they leave the house for the day. Our client just paid $35,000 to repair a busted pipe. Of course, it was on the second story and everything was soaked. The insurance refused to cover it because the gas was not on for the heat. The crew just thought it was not working right and failed to tell the owner. They also failed to turn off the water at the street when they left the premises. Read your insurance policy. Broken pipes are not covered during freezing temperatures if the heat is not on and the water is. As a lender, you don't have a lot of control over whom they select as a contractor, but you do have control over the quality of work and permits being pulled. You must keep a tight rein on the control you have available to you in order to protect your investment. This is also to benefit the borrower, as he has a better chance of making his projected profit if his contractor performs up to par. Attorney, title company. In this section, I will be referring to attorneys and title companies as attorneys. Some states use attorneys to close their transactions, and some states use title companies. I have found that attorneys are really only as good as their paralegals and other team members. Whenever I see a good paralegal is leaving a firm, I am always nervous about it. I want a good attorney that will protect my interests but not stop me from doing business. I want one that will protect me and let me know when I should be doing something in a different way to protect my interest. Having said that, if I ever have an attorney, whether it is mine or any other attorney, tell me I can't do something, I ask them to show me the law that says I can't do it. We have two attorneys that we use a lot in the Carolinas, one for each state. Before HUD changed their policy and required buyers of HUD houses to use their attorney, when we were loaning on properties that were being purchased from HUD, we were forced to use the HUD attorneys. The one for North Carolina happened to be an old high school friend of mine, and he was well-versed in doing investor closings to begin with, so he was a piece of cake to work with. The one from South Carolina, not so much. They were really nice and tried really hard to please their clients, but they just couldn't get their act together with good paralegals. In the beginning, both had great paralegals that eventually left for better pay. Our South Carolina attorney never could find the right replacements and eventually lost the HUD contract. We did find an attorney for South Carolina months later that is fabulous, and it was by accident that our beloved paralegal was working for them as well. Bottom line is that you need to find an attorney who is very familiar with back-to-back closings, working with investors, and can get title work back quickly. Price is not even a consideration for us. If they get things done quickly and thoroughly, I am very happy, and so are our clients. Most of our closings are mail away, which means the package should be prepared and in the hands of the buyer and seller the day prior to the closing, so they can be overnighted back to the attorney for arrival on the day of closing. We have found that it almost never works out like it should. There are snowstorms, borrowers late nights at their JOB, misunderstandings of what they are supposed to sign and have notarized, and just plain laziness. We do prepare for these holdups and know that it will take up to a week to get it recorded. It is for these reasons that your attorney needs to understand investment closings. We are grateful that no one has their truck packed and are ready to move in at the end of the closing, so we can work around delays. Another common occurrence is an issue with clear title. Your attorney will pull title, and yes, you should always get title insurance as a lender and as a borrower. We have had, on a number of occasions, missed liens on titles from the title search. Sometimes they don't go back far enough in time when they do the search. Most every issue can be cleared up. You just need patience and a diligent paralegal to stay on top of it. We just recently closed a loan in our office that was presented to us more than 6 months ago. They had to find one unrecorded release lien from a company that was out of business. We actually closed a loan one time and never realized the house had a 17-acre lot attached to it. That was a nice surprise for the buyer. Even very seasoned investors can make a mistake and buy a house that is sitting in the middle of two lots, and only one lot was on the legal description of the mortgage and foreclosed on. Read the title work. Check the parcel numbers with the GIS, Geographic Information System, and make sure you know what you're getting. It is important to understand any deed restrictions that may be on the property. A good attorney should bring anything unusual to your attention. If there is an HOA, homeowners association, in place, make sure you contact them to see if the rehab needs to be approved by them. I had to run paint colors and the type of shutters and garage door I was planning on using by them for board approval. Luckily, I was able to make friends with the HOA director and she made things a lot easier. But I had heard horror stories from others who tried to just ask for forgiveness rather than permission, and they spent thousands in changes to please the HOA. Listen, if the HOA can foreclose on a property for non-payment, they have enough power to make your life miserable. You will also want to ask them if the HOA dues are current. I know a lender who loaned money to an investor on a property that was located in a downtown historic district. It was noted by the appraiser and the attorney that the lot size was small for the area, and the zoning was such that this house was grandfathered in. The day the rehab was completed, the contractor checked the stove to make sure it was working and accidentally left the burner on and paper nearby. The house burned down, but could not be replaced because the lot size did not meet new construction standards. The lender spent over a year trying to get the insurance company to pay off on the replacement cost of the house. The insurance company did not want to pay because it could not be replaced no matter how much they settled on. He finally got about half the loan amount back and now holds a deed to a really nice, useless lot in downtown Gastonia, North Carolina.